The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance, AARP Magazine, and also AARP Bulletin. Our first article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, How to Drive Down the Cost of an Auto Loan. For starters, stand firm on how much you can afford to spend. Rising interest rates, combined with higher prices for cars, have pushed up the cost of auto loans. U.S. consumers paid an average of $46,437 for a new vehicle in January, up 4.2% from a year earlier, according to J.D. Power. Meanwhile, auto loan rates are averaging 6.27% for a five-year new car loan, up from 3.96% a year earlier, according to Bankrate.com. If you were to borrow, say, $40,000 and finance it at 6.27%, over 5 years, your monthly payment would be $778. Fortunately, there are plenty of ways to lower the expense. If you're in the market for a car and plan to finance it, consider these strategies to keep your cost manageable. Set a target for all car expenses. Before you step foot on a dealer's lot and start discussing the terms of a car loan, figure out how much you can afford to spend on the car. Everyone's situation is so incredibly different and nuanced, but it shouldn't be a significant portion of your income if you can help it, says Sam Gorlick, a certified financial planner with Brunch and Budget in New York City. When assessing what you can afford, especially if you're buying a car for the first time, make sure to consider not just what you'll put down and the monthly loan payments, but other expenses as well, such as insurance and maintenance. The average annual cost of car insurance is $1,771 per year, according to Bankrate. Although that will vary depending on where you live and the type of car you buy. The amount you pay for maintenance will also vary depending on the car you choose, but the average that Americans spend on car maintenance in 2021, including all operating costs, was $9,666, according to AAA. In general, used cars are more costly to maintain than new vehicles because new cars typically have a 3-year warranty to help cover repairs. To pinpoint the true cost of ownership based on make and model, visit www.edmunds.com/car-maintenance/guide-page.html for Edmunds Car Maintenance Calculator. Tally up the distance in miles you expect to drive each month, and divide that by the vehicle's gas mileage for a rough estimate of your monthly fuel consumption. Multiply that by the average cost of fuel in your area. Currently $3.39 a gallon nationally, according to AAA, although Kiplinger expects it to rise to around $4 by late spring. If you're buying an electric vehicle, estimate your monthly electric expense and cost. An average EV owner will pay an additional $56 per month to charge an electric car at home, according to Kelley Blue Book, based on average household electricity cost of about 16 cents per kilowatt hour. Or keep it simple and look up the average annual fuel cost by make and model at fueleconomy.gov. After calculating operating cost, you might choose to reduce the amount you're willing to pay for a new car, or choose a used car instead of a new one. You can always buy less car, says Matt Dijon, an editor for Kelley Blue Book. If you don't want to buy used, consider foregoing add-ons such as heated seats or an expensive paint color. That could save you a lot of money over the life of the loan. Get the best deal on a loan. With interest rates on the rise, finding the lowest rate you can is more important than ever. You really want to shop around for your financing just as much as you're shopping for a car, Dijon says. First, check your credit score, which will determine the rate you'll qualify for. If you have a stellar credit, a FICO score of about 780 or higher, you may be able to get a rate as low as 4.75% on a new car or 5.99% for a used one. To compare and shop for auto loans for your score and location, try Bankrate's Auto Loan Tool at www.bankrate.com/loans/auto-loans/rates. Although used cars are less expensive than new ones, you'll typically pay a higher interest rate on used cars. Consumers Credit Union recently offered auto loans for used cars starting at 5.24% for a loan term of up to 84 months. Car makers aren't offering many 0% loans or cash back these days, but sometimes lenders linked to car manufacturers such as Ford Motor Credit, GM Financial, and Toyota Financial Services will offer competitive rates. GM Financial recently offered financing options with APRs starting at 4.99% for new cars. Consider going to a bank or a credit union to get pre-approved for a loan before going to the dealer. Dealerships offer financing, but those offers aren't always the best deals. The really great loan rate car makers advertise are typically limited to certain vehicles and to people with great credit. Plus, when you go into a dealership armed with financing already lined up, that gives you more leverage to get a better deal, Dijon says. You can turn down the dealer's offer knowing you have backup financing ready. Financing a used car could be an exception, although dealers won't offer the same incentives they provide for new car loans. They may offer lower interest rates than your bank or credit union for certified pre-owned or CPO cars, Dijon says. CPO cars have been thoroughly reconditioned and offer warranties similar to those you can get for a new car, although generally for only a year or two. Don't forget the down payment. If you're trading in a car, the dealer will often apply the trade-in value as your down payment. If not, put down as much as you can afford, because that will lower your monthly payment. A larger down payment may also land you a better interest rate. Because the value of a car depreciates rapidly, try to avoid loans with terms of 7 years or longer. You risk being, quote, upside down on the loan, which occurs when you owe more on the loan than the car is worth. If your vehicle is totaled, the amount you receive from your insurer may not be enough to pay off the balance of your loan. While a long-term loan will lower your monthly payments, you may spend thousands of dollars more in interest than you would on a shorter term. Long-term loans often also have higher interest rates. While most buyers take out a 5-year loan, go with a 3-year loan if you can afford it, Gorlick says. If you have substantial savings and your credit isn't strong enough to lower the rate of your loan, consider paying cash for the car. Alternatively, if your credit is in bad shape and you need a car immediately, you could ask a family member or friend who has good credit to co-sign the loan. But keep in mind that if you're late on payments or default, it will hurt your credit and your cosigner's credit too. Our next article from AARP Magazine, Find Your Best Bank. Should you keep cash where it's already, or should you move your account? Here are five essential factors to consider. Over the years, banks in the U.S. have dramatically changed how they operate and what services they offer, but their main function remains the same for most households, to serve as a hub for everyday cash flow. Paycheck received, right into your bank account. Bills to be paid, right from your bank account. Cash needed for the weekend, right out of your bank's ATM. Given the importance of all that cash flow, you'd think we'd be picky about our bank. But it's the opposite. Americans age 50 and up have been using their current checking account for an average of about 25 years, according to a 2021 Bankrate survey. One of the top reasons respondents give for sticking, it's the same account I've always had. There are better criteria for deciding where to keep an account. While the interest rates you earn on deposits or pay on loans may be important, here are five other factors to consider. Number one, maintenance fees. If a bank charges you a monthly fee for your account, those dollars can add up. The most common monthly charge is $12, according to Bankrate, or $144 a year. The average minimum balance you need in an account to get monthly charges waived is about $540. So if you're paying a high monthly fee for your account, you might want to look for an account elsewhere, or maybe an account at your current bank with a different fee structure. You could be required to use direct deposit or link a savings account, or you may have to pay to receive a paper statement. Certain states require banks to offer, quote, lifeline, low-fee accounts. And the Nonprofit Cities for Financial Empowerment Fund is encouraging banks to provide what are known as bank-on accounts, low-cost accounts that meet certain standards, such as an opening deposit of $25 or less. To find a bank near you offering these low-fee accounts, visit joinbankon.org/accounts. Number two, penalties. Penalty fees include charges for overdrafts or for using an out-of-network ATM. Banks raked in an estimated $15.5 billion in overdraft and non-sufficient funds revenue in 2019, according to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. In the face of CFPB concerns about overdraft fees, some banks have eliminated them altogether. That's worth asking about. We can't necessarily plan for a pandemic or layoff, says Rachel Gittleman, Financial Services Outreach Manager for the Consumer Federation of America. So, make sure that your bank's fee structures work both for now and for more difficult times, she says. Banks are required to disclose their fees. You can search online for the bank's name and fees to find them on their websites. Then compare different banks' charges that might affect you. Number three, branches. The older you are, the more likely you are to bank in person. But the number of bank branches in the U.S. has declined for a decade, from more than 85,000 in 2011 to around 72,000 in 2021. If going to a branch is important to you, consider whether most of your visits are to a few nearby locations or whether you want to be able to bank anywhere in your state, your region, or across the country. You can search for the bank's name and find a branch or ATM to see what's near you. Credit union members can access more than 5,400 branches and 30,000 fee-free ATMs nationally through Co-op, a network of credit unions. Even as the overall number of branches is on the decline, some banks are expanding their networks in certain cities. You can access a bank's commitment to your area or lack thereof by seeing if it has shut branches down recently or instead seems to be investing in the in-store location, says Gittleman. You might also visit a branch to see what services it offers and to get a sense of how attentive it is to customers. Number four, technology. If in-person banking isn't a priority, or if no bank branches are particularly convenient to where you live, well-designed remote banking technology will make your life easier. Don't want to travel to a branch to deposit checks? Many banks now have apps that let you make a deposit from your living room. It's as simple as taking a picture of a check with a phone or tablet. Tired of writing a rent check every month? You may be able to schedule automatic monthly payments. Like keeping a close eye on your bank balance? Get a text notification after every transaction. Think about how you plan to interact with your bank and make sure that the financial institution that you choose has all of those options available, says Gettleman. Since it can be difficult to assess a bank's technology if you don't already have an account there, your best bet is to ask family and friends what they think of the technology at their banks. Number five, special services. Hate waiting in line? Some bank customers line up digitally before getting to the branch. Need cash but don't have your debit card? Some institutions let you withdraw money from your ATM by entering your PIN into a mobile wallet. Banks are also using artificial intelligence to make online chats feel more conversational, says Amanda Swanson, a senior director at Cornerstone Advisors, a banking consulting firm. Look for special features that address your circumstances and ask people you know about what services stand out at their bank. People who have lower credit or thin file credit may have a better chance of being approved for a mortgage or other loans if the bank evaluates cash flow data instead of pulling a credit report while reviewing their application. If you have more assets, a bank might offer wealth management services at a reduced cost or an interest rate discount on a mortgage. From Kiplinger's Personal Finance, an article entitled, Holding Down Retiree Drug Cost. Legislation enacted in 2022 could eventually reduce overall prescription drug prices, too. If you're enrolled in Medicare and spend a lot of money on prescription drugs, legislation enacted last summer could lower some of your expenses. The prescription drug provisions in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act will be phased in over 7 years, but some take effect as early as this year. To get the most out of these cost savings provisions, you need to be vigilant. And you may need to make some changes to your existing prescription drug regimen. Caps on insulin payments. If your insulin is covered by your Part D prescription drug plan, your copayments are now capped at $35 a month, effective January the 1st. For beneficiaries who use an insulin pump, which is covered by Part D, the $35 copayment cap kicks in July 1st. The caps take effect automatically, but if your insulin is covered by your Part D plan, you may want to review it. There are more than 70 different types of insulin on the market, and Part D plans have the option of deciding which ones to cover. When the Inflation Reduction Act was signed into law last summer, 2023 premiums and copays for participating private insurers had already been incorporated into the Plan Finder tool at Medicare.gov, so they didn't include the $35 cap, says Kelly Jo Greiner, director of the Minnesota State Health Insurance Assistance Program, which provides free counseling for Medicare beneficiaries. Because of the outdated information in Plan Finder, some seniors may have chosen a Part D plan with a type of insulin that has a lower copayment than the type their doctor recommended. Or some may have selected a plan that doesn't cover insulin at all, says Lee Purvis, director of Healthcare Cost and Access for AARP's Public Policy Institute. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, has given beneficiaries who use insulin until the end of the year to switch Part D plans. Call 800-633-4227. That number again is 800-633-4227 if you take insulin and want to change your plan. For help choosing a plan that fits your needs, contact a SHIP, S-H-I-P, counselor at shiphelp.org. Diabetic patients who aren't on Medicare could also see their costs decline. Eli Lilly recently announced that it's slashing the cost of its commonly prescribed insulin drugs and expanding a program that caps out-of-pocket costs at $35 a month. Free shingles vaccines. Vaccines for the flu, pneumonia, hepatitis D, and COVID-19 are covered by Medicare Part B, generally with no copays. But the shingles vaccine, which the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends for everyone 50 and older, is covered by Part D and may require a copay or coinsurance depending on the plan. Starting this year, Part D plans must cover the shingles vaccine along with other adult vaccines recommended by the CDC at no cost, Greiner says. Not all pharmacies are aware of this change. So, if you're on Medicare and were charged for a shingles vaccine administered after January the 1st, contact your Part D plan or a SHIP counselor for help getting a refund. Rebates. Starting this year, manufacturers of drugs used by Medicare beneficiaries will be required to pay rebates to Medicare if their drug prices increase faster than the rate of inflation. The formula used to calculate rebates will be based on the drug's average price, so this provision could have a spillover effect, slowing price increases for all users, not just Medicare beneficiaries, Purvis says. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, prices for half of drugs covered by Medicare increased faster than the inflation rate between 2019 and 2020. However, inflation has risen sharply since then, which could mute the impact of this provision, at least in the short term. What's ahead? Starting in 2024, annual increases in Part D premiums will be also capped at no more than 6% a year. In addition, participants will no longer pay coinsurance for Part D catastrophic coverage, which kicks in once out-of-pocket spending exceeds an annual threshold, $7,400 in 2023. Starting in 2025, Part D participants' out-of-pocket spending will be capped at $2,000 a year. In future years, the cap will be indexed to the rate of increase in Part D per capita cost. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates that 1.4 million Part D participants without low-income subsidies spend $2,000 or more on out-of-pocket cost in 2020. Finally, starting in 2026, Medicare will begin negotiating prices for certain high-priced drugs covered by Part B and Part D. The number of beneficiaries who will benefit from negotiated prices will depend on the drug selected and extent of price reductions, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. CMS plans to announce the first 10 drugs it will select for price negotiations by September. And this article appeared in the AARP Bulletin, Great Ways to Save on Airline Travel. Depart as early in the day as possible. Early morning flights, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., will only shave off about 2% off the cost of your flight, but they're half as likely to be delayed as flights that leave later in the day after 9 a.m. That could save you the headache and the associated expenses that come with a delayed flight. Check out the new airlines. Two airlines, Avilo and Breeze, launched during the pandemic, and another, Northern Pacific Airways, is slated to start flying this spring. New airlines like these often have a strategy of winning the market share by offering ultra-low rates. One caution, these airlines tend to highlight base fares for tickets, so make sure you understand the total cost before making the purchase. And check out the competition. As startup airlines add new routes, established airlines flying those routes often lower their prices amid the increased competition. And book your group members separately. Airlines often have a certain number of seats available at each pricing level. If they only have three tickets available at $200 and you're trying to buy four seats at once, they won't turn up in your search. Book individually or in groups of two. You could nab the low price seats. And lastly, use your airline card to save on other expenses. In addition to racking up miles, paying for a flight with an airline credit card may offer unexpected savings on travel, like a free check bag or discounts on in-flight food and drink. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it and hope you will be sure to join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.